All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Wharton. And did you guys ever see the Simpsons where Homer finds out about how his mom took him to a hippie commune to live with George Carlin when he was a kid? And he finds out, because there's a giant mural on the wall, he finds out that the J in Homer J. Simpson stands for Homer J. Simpson. Because J was his middle name. Gotcha, haha. Well, apparently that's the same thing going on here with MJ Rosenberg. Who knew the J stood for J? He's now leaving Media Matters. Too bad for them. And going to MJ, as in Homer J. Simpson, Rosenberg.com. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Okay, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm very glad to hear it. And that's a fine-looking new blog you got there, MJ Rosenberg. I like it.
Well, thank you, sir. I will be. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at Al Jazeera. I'm going to be at Huffington Post. I'm going to be at Talking Points Memo. So I'll be on your radio show. I think I'll pretty much be around at least as much as I used to be when I was at Media Matters. Media Matters did a ton for me in terms of my visibility. I mean, I really wasn't that much of anything before I came there, and then now I'm pretty, you know, well known in these on this issue. So it was a great ride while it lasted.
Ah, well, that's very polite of you. Now, what was the big deal why you had to leave?
Well, I didn't have to leave. I wrote this as start as soon as the controversy began. What happened was the right is always trying to get Media Matters, because Media Matters is the number one organization going after the right wing media, particularly Fox News. I mean, David Brock just wrote a book called The Fox Effect, and it became like a bestseller like instantly about, you know, how they have basically destroyed, you know, media news in this country. Media Matters got rid of Glenn Beck. Media Matters is running, you know, the anti-Rush Limbaugh movement. So we're always, I shouldn't say where, because I'm not there anymore, but they're always under attack. And mostly their issues are exclusively domestic. So by having me being so far out there on the foreign policy issues, particularly the Israel issues, I was allowing, and I don't blame myself for that. I mean, I didn't hire myself. I was allowing the right to hone in on this. Media Matters is anti-Semitic. Media Matters is anti-Israel, all that stuff, which was just a distraction for the organization. So I can't say it was like the pressure got to be too much. It was more like the guilt got to be too much. There was a lot of crisis management in terms of having to deal with all these insane right-wing attacks. There were really it was just a confluence of hating Media Matters because Media Matters goes after the right, and then being able to use the Israel issue. And what, I don't know if you saw the ad, the right wingers took out a full page ad in the New York Times listing all these Jewish donors, telling all these Jewish donors and listing some of them, saying, well, do you know that you're supporting an anti-Israel organization? So, I mean, it's like, it's the most impossible situation.
Although that is kind of, as you say, that is sort of fighting fire with fire, because that's the way Media Matters fights, too, is like the blacklist and the boycott and the you can't say that attitude.
We don't much say you can't say that.
Well, look at, you just said, you know, the way you go after Rush Limbaugh or whatever, it's over what he says.
Well, that's true, except that we don't make anything up. I mean, we really don't.
Sure.
I mean, the thing about Media Matters is that it's got like around, 100 so, fact checkers to make sure that every single thing that comes out of here is accurate. The thing with the right, things like, all these right-wing publications and things like Commentary and National Review and, Fox News, is they just make stuff up. which is really, which makes it really hard to deal with. I mean, they're kind of, you know, it's, and they just make up stuff with me. What is this idea of calling me an anti-Semite? I mean, how can you call me an anti-Semite? In addition to being Jewish, in addition to the fact that my wife was born in a displaced persons camp in Germany to Holocaust survivors, I mean, you never see it when people on the left don't talk that way. It's also, you know, you think about it, you know, it takes the right to come up with the weird concept you can call Jews anti-Semites. That really is like a classic, even for them. Jews are anti-Semites. They used to just call us self-hating Jews. That was like, okay. But then the self, you know, it's like the George Soros thing. So George, they hate George Soros because George Soros, you know, gives money to Media Matters and to all these other liberal organizations. So they change him from being someone who was a 14-year-old survivor of the Holocaust to someone who was a 14-year-old Nazi collaborator, a Jewish boy in Germany, I think it was Hungary. I mean, that's what we're, you know, that's what you deal with when you're dealing with the right. So, I was able to leave, you know, I'm lucky. I was able to leave Media Matters because it has no financial impact on me to leave. I mean, you know, I'm 64 years old. I'm not saying I'm rich, but I got enough money. My kids are grown. They got enough money. If I was young, and they could succeed in getting me fired. See, that's what their goal is. They really want to send out a clear message. If you stand up against Netanyahu, if you stand up against that crowd, you will not work. And if you aren't working, you aren't going to have food on the table. That's their goal. And, I mean, they do it with the media, but the main people they do it with is members of Congress.
Right.
I mean, no, it's like, it's like talking about where they got me is insignificant. Every single member. You know, the other day they had a vote in Congress, in the Senate, on this, you know, the latest Iran sanctions craziness. You know, 99 senators were for it. Only Rand Paul from Kentucky, you know, voted against it and stopped the, actually, he stopped the bill from coming up. He just used that power that they have in the Senate, you know, to object. You know, one person can object and stop anything. But 99 senators in agreement on anything? The reason they were in agreement was it was pushed by AIPAC. The reason that they're afraid of AIPAC is AIPAC funds their campaigns. It's sickening. I don't know if it's okay to plug another radio show on your radio show.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Okay. This past Sunday, the show This American Life,
mm-hmm.
Did a whole thing on lobbying Congress and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I mean, I worked on the Hill for 20 years, and it was scary listening to it. You got to, if I just go on to, you know, all their shows are free. You just, and they have a, you know, an application for your phone, but it's just unreal. And that's the way AIPAC operates, you know. Oh, really? You really want to not sign this? You don't want to be on this resolution? Well, you know, okay, well, we'll remember that because you're up for re-election in November.
All right. That's the real root of the problem here is democracy. They're just, the Israel lobby is really good at email lists and telephone trees and making sure that everybody stays on the same page. We all like this congressman. We all don't like that congressman. And they get it done. And other people are mad about that.
They get it done. And yeah, and the thing that's, you know, that this show points out, which never mentions AIPAC or the Israel lobby for obvious reasons, because hardly anybody in media except you talks about the Israel lobby. But they talk about all these other lobbies. It's not. It's everyone does it.
All right, now, I'm sorry, we got to go out to this break, but we got a little bit of time when we get back. Just tell me real quick, yes or no, though, and it sounds like the answer is yes, is that Media Matters did stand behind you on this. You just felt bad you were kind of bringing them down. Is that right?
I don't think I was bringing them down because they're pretty well-financed and they're a good organization, but I was making things difficult for them, and I don't want to do it. I love Media Matters.
All right, hold it right there. We'll be right back with MJ okay. Rosenberg after this. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with MJ Rosenberg. MJ Rosenberg.
Hey. Yeah.
MJRosenberg.com.
I think that people were kind of surprised that thought the J was some kind of a mystery name, like something exotic. J-Y is about as boring a name as you could get. No offense to...
Well, to me, it's just a Simpsons joke from a long time ago.
That was pretty funny.
I wish I had that clip. I have quite a few, but... No, oh, Homer J. Simpson. Huh. I think that was the one with George Carlin. Yeah.
Was
Zoe
it?
Nods in the affirmative. That was indeed the Carlin episode.
No, that was a historic one.
All right, so... we're talking about the Israel lobby, and we're talking about, well, the neocons and the battle over Media Matters and how you quit just because you're bringing a bunch of heat on Media Matters that you think is sort of beside the point from what their organization's real mission is, which is, you know, I think a very upstanding thing of you to do.
It is upstanding, but it would be more upstanding if I was giving up my voice. Not didn't have any money and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's one of the things I often point out, you know, it's like people like me can stand up to the lobby. Well, part of it, of course, is I'm just not afraid to stand up to them. I don't understand these members of Congress. I mean, half of them have totally safe seats. There is no way that the lobby could beat the likes of, let's say, he's now retiring, Barney Frank. We know Barney Frank probably, you know, he was not a hawk on Israel, but he sure sounded like one when he talked. The whole United States Senate.
I would have really liked to see Brock and the rest of Media Matters rally around to your position and just say, you know what, forget the Republicans, they're going nowhere anyway. Obviously, Barack Obama's walking back into the presidency here.
Yeah.
And why not have all of Media Matters come and rally to your defense and take on the Israel lobby? They could do it with that Soros money. Get out there and take a brave stand and face the Likudniks down. It's not like they're right about anything or that you guys could lose a single argument to them on the merits.
No, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think what the feeling is, and it's always going to be a trap for progressives, is, you know, do we really want to risk the presidency over this issue? I mean, not that we would, but you know, politicians and people involved in politics are scared of their own shadow. You know, the thing that I learned on Capitol Hill, I probably said this to you before too. It's like when a member of Congress decides to go along with AIPAC on some stupid resolution or bill, it's not because they're afraid they're going to lose their seat. It's afraid they're going to lose a few votes, maybe, and a few $1,000s. They're so greedy up there. The White House is no better. I mean, they want every last dollar. They don't want to offend any donors. And I think it's one of the important things to know is the Democrats are just, well, I would say Democrats are worse than the Republicans. They're on this issue worse than the Republicans because Republicans have never mattered on this issue. The people who matter on this Israel-Palestine-Iran issue are almost all Democrats, and on that it's the same as the Republicans. I mean, it's amazing. When I worked up there, I remember, I worked for really good members of Congress, but I remember one in particular, you know, where it was like I wanted him to go on to. I signed him up to be a co-sponsor of a bill to ending discrimination against gays and lesbians. This was way back, it was called ENDA, was the name of the bill. And I don't know what year it was, in the 90s sometime. And, you know, I suppose I reveal a dirty little secret that staffers just on their own co-sponsor bills. But I just signed him up, you know, and co-sponsored the bill. And he was a co-sponsor. He saw that he was a co-sponsor. And he came up and he said to me, "So you really want me to lose my seat? That's what you want to do? You think Congress will be a better place when I'm not in it? Blah, 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 blah." But the guy was getting 80-some percent of the vote. I just kept saying, "You're not going to lose 10 votes on this." But he just goes, every time you try to go against, you know, the big interests or conventional wisdom, they give you the song and dance that, oh, you want my opponent to win? That's them talking to their staffers. I mean, really, it's incredible. And they're all on this Israel-Palestine issue. There are so many staffers up there who are so disgusted disgusted by their bosses. But they can't do anything because their boss says that same thing. Oh, you want me to lose? And the staffer says, you get 92% of the vote. It's just ridiculous.
Most of those seats are pretty safe, especially when you're talking about these guys who've been in there for two or three terms.
Oh yeah, I mentioned before about this radio show on This American Life. There's this thing about lobbies, and at one point, I think it was Barney Frank who said, "Well, you always have to remember that on every it cuts both ways. On every issue, there's a lobby, you know, with money on one side handing out money." And there's one on the other side handing out money. And that's true on a lot of issues, but it's not true on Israel-Palestine.
Or even really foreign policy in general.
Oh, no.
It's just, the arms interests, the banks, the foreigners, they all agree that we need intervention.
Exactly. There is no other side. I mean, so it's like, so all the money. So you really, if you're a member of Congress, it's almost like it's easy pickings this month. I mean, all you have to do is, vote. The AIPAC or whatever interventionist way, and you're going to get a lot of money.
Right.
And there's nothing
in fact,
on
if
the
you
other
think
side.
About it, you'll hear very rarely there will be something like the controversy over the Armenian genocide and whether America's going to pass a resolution condemning the Turks for something that happened during World War I and all of this, and the lobbies break out in a big fight over an issue like that. But that just kind of proves the silence or the crickets the rest of the time on any kind of foreign policy issue.
Yeah,
it all just sort of is run out of D.C. on autopilot as far as the American people are concerned.
And the only reason the Armenian genocide issue was that thing, because there was money on that one. Because the Armenian American community and its supporters gives lots of money, and so that becomes like an issue. And it's very important with California members of Congress, where there's a big community and there's lots of money changes hands. I mean, that's the way it works. It's not like the Israel issue is the only one like that, but
right. All
the issues are about money. And who is buying this? You mentioned the Armenian genocide thing, which I totally believe there was an Armenian genocide. The only reason that we didn't pass it was because of pressure from the Turkish lobby, which is very much connected with the arms industry and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that's really interesting: the Israelis and the Jewish lobby were always on the side of the Armenians because it would sort of like make sense because of the whole, question of genocide and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I bet next time it comes up, AIPAC is going to be AIPAC is going to do whatever they can do, particularly to go after the Turks. Because now they're really mad at the Turks. The whole thing is very confusing. Everything comes down to what do these two lobbies have to say? It's just, that's just crazy. The whole thing.
Well, and, AIPAC and the ATC used to be real close organizations, maybe not so much anymore since the Mavi Marmar over there on the other side of the planet.
Well, that's a good point. No, they're definitely not so much anymore. And it all gets reflected. Whatever AIPAC is going to tell Congress to do on this issue, they're going to do. Well, my colleague at work called me, my former colleague called me up to tell me that, the Congress is now threatening to cut off money to the Palestinian Authority because the Palestinian Authority is giving an award to Helen Thomas. So the United States Congress would cut off aid to all these Palestinian people who get this, who in theory get the money, and aid to the Palestinians to be considered an interest of the United States, but we cut off the money because of Helen Thomas?
Are you kidding me?
No, it was real. It's real.
Wow.
Yeah, a member of Congress is pushing this.
I thought she was the only one up there in a decade and a half in D.C. that I had any respect for in the media at all.
I know. And it's just like the way they went after her ended her career. And like, I was like,
it was so funny. Did you see her interview with Joey Bear on CNN where she goes, "I'm a Semite. You're not a Semite. Don't you get it?" How can I be an anti-Semite when I'm the Semitic one and you're from Eastern Europe, lady?
Oh yeah, well that's the kind of talking that got her in trouble, But just the thing is, that was such an obvious setup too. I mean, it was just crazy. And what if so she apologized. On other issues you can just say, "Well, I misspoke." God, how often do we hear that? No misspoke, no. And it is kind of crazy. And you get this unadulterated racism from the right continuously. Like on this Trayvon Martin stuff now, it's insane. And no one has to apologize for that. And no one loses their job over it either. It's kind of, the whole thing is just kind of amazing. What things in America you're allowed to say, what things in America you're not allowed to say. But one thing in America that congressmen are not allowed to say is that the Palestinians may have a point.
Right.
That you can't
say. You know,
this
whole thing, I hate to admit it for a variety of reasons, but it was Bill Maher, I think, who really put it the best in his recent op-ed in the New York Times, where he just sums up, he names a bunch of people from popular culture that I'm not really familiar with, but he basically goes through the list of, like, in the last year and a half, the following people have been absolutely crucified over a choice of words.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, why? What in the hell? I thought we all believed in free speech. It's not like, okay, we're talking about government censorship of everyone. But we've got political correctness gone absolutely insane right now.
Right,
where,
right.
You know, okay, what if somebody did say something mean one time, but they got a good point this week? What about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing? I guess you're guilty of guilt by association because I said some things one time, MJ, and
yeah.
You're on my show right now.
No, that is absolutely the way it is. But it's only if you offend a special interest that has money behind it. It usually is not just, you know, there's got to be somebody to bring the issue to the fore. And on this issue, on the Israel issue and the Palestine issue and things like, you know, think about it. You know, the Gaza war, there were 1,400 Palestinians were killed. It wasn't even a war because only 10 Israelis were killed and most of them were just killed, by friendly fire. So basically no Israelis were killed. I mean, in the war, and 1,400 Palestinians were killed, almost all civilian and 400 of them were little kids. And MSNBC, the liberal cable network, never talked about it. No, I mean, it was just like, oh, yeah, there's this war over there, and started by the Palestinians because they lobbed a few missiles into State Road, and therefore you can kill 400 kids.
Yeah, well, you know what? I actually was moving to L.A. right during that. It was in January of 2009 when I got there, and in L.A. in the local cable hookup where I was staying, they had CNN International, which you don't have in Austin, or at least didn't then. And, wow, they actually are covering this, and there's Israeli helicopters, or I think it was helicopters, yeah, dropping phosphorus bombs that, you know, we already learned to recognize from the war in Fallujah,
right,
and how they spread and all that. And then, but all you gotta do is click the channel clicker by one click, and there's regular old CNN.
Yeah.
Not showing a single bit of it whatsoever. So if you're like at a international airport somewhere, or if you're in Europe somewhere, CNN will tell you what's going on in the Gaza Strip. Otherwise, forget it. Here's more about a pop star who's in a personal relationship with somebody.
That's brilliant. I mean, I never thought about that. Actually, it's, you know, I mean, I do get it here in D.C. I have CNN right next to CNN International. And yeah, it's so different. In fact, I think that our attention span, when I watch CNN International, it's too much information for me. Like, I'm used to the way things are. You know, the way American TV presents stuff. All these little, you know, everything is simplified to the point of, you know, where you can't recognize the issue itself. It's insane. But, you know, I read this article, today in Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper. Which the interesting thing, of course, about is the Israeli media is you can read all the things that you can't read here because they don't have AIPAC in Israel,
right,
which I find kind of hilarious. They don't have an Israel law in Israel. They just have Israel, so they can write whatever they want. And the article by a writer named Akiva Eldar, who's so respected over there, one of their award-winning, you know, kind of like a Tom Friedman kind of guy, his whole article was about how Obama has not only sold out his own values and what he believes in the Israel-Palestine issue in order to get, you know, elected, reelected, whatever, but has totally sold out all those people in Israel who count on the United States to put pressure on Israel so that Israel will do the right thing. That they get the legs cut out from under them by someone like Netanyahu, who is able to say, well, why are you telling me that I can't build settlements? Barack Obama doesn't say anything.
Right.
I mean, so our policies, I mean, we hurt the Palestinians, we hurt the Israelis, the good Israelis, the good Palestinians, all these people, but to all please an interest group. And meanwhile in Israel, they're all reading about it, arguing about it. I wonder too,
do Israelis really know that Americans like Sheldon Adelson actually foot the bill for the Likud party? That really it's sort of just, Americans who are foisting the Likud government on the people of Israel, maybe. Is that right? Or is that overstating it?
I don't know what they know over there about him. In order to support Netanyahu, he created a newspaper over there, which is now the number one circulation paper. The reason being, it's free. That's a real newspaper. It's not like a free, it's a free newspaper, and it's on paper, and he has the delivery system that's something like, in this country, it would have been like 100 years ago, where every single house in the country gets this paper hand, some kid on a bicycle tosses onto your, onto your lawn. So he has had this American guy from Nevada, who's dedicated his life primarily to union busting. I mean, that's what he's really all about. That's much more important to him than Israel is union busting. Is dominating their politics by buying it. How many people in the world could possibly create a newspaper that you get to every single household in the country and it's free? I mean, so he wants to turn, their politics are bad there, but they're nothing compared to this. Yeah. And he wants to make Israel into kind of like a total free enterprise, money worshipping version of the United States. And people forget about the whole part with Israel.
Spending American tax money on American weapons.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice
that's
free
what he,
market.
That's what he wants. I mean, yeah. I mean, these people are just incredible. I don't know. I don't know how many Israelis know about it. I don't know how many Americans know about it. But I do know one thing. In Israel, you can find out about it by reading the newspaper. You've got a major newspaper like Haaretz that is, which is the equivalent of the New York Times, except big difference on the issue, on this issue. It tells the truth about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We don't have a newspaper like that. Or The Guardian in Britain or anything like that. NPR, mainstream public radio, certainly goes at, oh my God, it's so careful to be so balanced. Balanced meaning, pro-Israel so that not $1 from a local, gets cut off to a local station. I mean, it's everything. And NPR is the best of them. As far as I consider NPR just mainstream media. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to go to the, alternate media to find any, like you.
Yeah, that's the thing. NPR and the Lehrer NewsHour type thing on PBS, they'll give you, depth. It's for intelligent people, but they're still always, like you say, very careful about which questions are asked and answered. So,
absolutely.
It's not just, CNN, movie star, pablum all day, but it's not really much better when it comes to getting to the heart of the matter.
Well, it's very hard. Think about it. If you were in a position where you had to look over your shoulder every minute because you're going to be called in by the bosses who are going to say, what the hell were you talking about when you just said that thing about Netanyahu? That's not something that we say here. And you say, right. I'm just quoting from Haaretz. Say, don't quote from Haaretz anymore.
Haaretz is anti-Semitic.
Right, exactly.
Like M.J. Rosenberg.
Exactly.
That's got to be stopped.
The whole thing is crazy, and it's going to get crazier this year with the election. I mean, hey, did you read the article in the Times about Netanyahu and Romney's personal friendship?
Yeah.
Since they're 29 years old, they've been like best buds.
Good times, right?
I mean, if Romney becomes president, you're not even going to need an APAC.
that's funny, news. Too, because they actually had a debate where him and Rick Perry and, I guess, Gingrich all got in a real big fight over who was closest to Benjamin Netanyahu. And I wonder whether he invoked his, 30-year relationship
with
this guy.
Well, what he said was he was accused. Santorum went off and said, as usual, censorship was insane and racist about the Palestinians. And of course, that got great applause from the audience. And then when they turned to Romney, they said, "Well, Romney, would you have said that line about the Palestinians?" He said, "Well, unlike Rick Santorum, who shoots his mouth off, I would first clear it with Prime Minister Netanyahu." And I thought, wow, if anything could be worse than saying what Santorum says, it's saying that before you say it, you clear it with the Prime Minister of Israel. I mean, if he becomes president, you might as well have Netanyahu as President of the United States. I mean, the scariest thing about that would be getting us involved in the war in Iran.
That was, Hillary Clinton's aide in the race of 2007 or 8, I forget, said, "The role of the American president is to implement the policies decided on by the Israeli government."
Exactly.
Simple as that, with a period at the end. Everybody knows that, right?
I know. And Joe Biden, who I always quote Joe Biden because he always says the same phrase. It must have been written by AIPAC. The phrase is, "There must be no daylight," and then he repeats it, "no daylight between the policies of Israel and the policies of the United States." Mm-hmm. No daylight.
Here's the thing, too. This gets back to the heart of the matter, and I guess I really should have said this in my introduction. You know, this whole latest big controversy where the right wing targeted you and others, the Center for American Progress and others, was over this whole use of the term Israel first, which Justin Raimondo explained to everybody was first used by this guy Lilienthal back in the 1950s.
Right.
He was a real anti-Semitic guy, Lilienthal, of course.
Yeah, well, I did some research on and discovered it was famously used. It made the New York Times when the president of Brandeis University, who is a great Jewish historian named Abram Sacher, used it and called them obnoxious Israel firsters. I mean, it's crazy.
Well,
right?
And so this is the thing, is the big fight is MJ Rosenberg must be some kind of Klansman, or else how could he dare assert that there's such a thing? Is it just maybe it's a bad guy term to use, or is it the fact that you would assert that there's such a person as an American who might really care more about what happens to Israel, even, you know, at American expense?
Yeah,
in the long term, that such a thing is possible, or what?
I mean, and we all know, we all know the phenomenon exists. Oh my God! Just go to the Congress. I mean, I always, I always posit this idea: if you have no problem criticizing the President of the United States, be that president be named, if he's Barack Obama or George Bush or Herbert Hoover, I don't care what his name is, if you think that that is perfectly legitimate to say in the case of Barack Obama that he was, he wasn't born in this country, he's a terrible guy, he's a socialist, or that George W. Bush is an idiot or whatever, you can say all those things. And people do, and certainly these people I'm talking about do, but they consider it inappropriate and anti-Semitic and a blood libel to criticize the Prime Minister of Israel. That's sick. And then if they'll say, well, that's different. You're allowed to say what you want about the president of your own country, not a foreign country. You mean I'll get in trouble if I say that I think that Nicolas Sarkozy is an idiot?
Yeah, or how about we ought to bomb Iran because what a bad guy Ahmadinejad
yes,
is.
That's right. You're allowed to say what you want about about our own leaders and every foreign leader in the world.
Well, I was reading that commentary. They were gloating, ha ha, MJ Rosenberg resigned from Media Matters. And then right there in the comments is, he seems like he wants to make friends with people other than Jews. And that's why he, says what he says. In other words,
don't put
Jewishness at the first priority on every single issue. And then, of course, it obviously, it goes without saying supposedly that Jewishness and support for the right-wing government Israel are the same thing, to the commenter's point of view. But that's really, on one hand, they say you're evil for saying that there's anyone like that. But then on the other hand, they're saying that's what's wrong with you, is you're not an Israel firster.
Yeah, well, it's like the thing with Alan Dershowitz, where he said, I'm a liberal Democrat. I support everything Barack Obama stands for. But unless Media Matters fires MJ Rosenberg, I'm going down to Florida to campaign for the Republicans. Wait a minute.
Really?
But you believe in everything, you believe in, like, the quote, Democrats' agenda, but you will campaign for the Republicans because you don't like some guy no one's ever heard of named MJ Rosenberg because he criticizes Israel? That is not putting, it's almost beyond the concept of Israel.
Well, you know, I know how you could convince him. You could just remind him about Jeremy Scahill's great reporting about Barack Obama torturing people in his dungeon beneath Mogadishu and say, see, Obama's a torturer, and we know that you put torture as your highest priority.
That's right.
Mr. Dershowitz, who's actually on my CNN on mute in the background right now.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh, he's arguing about Trayvon Martin. Maybe he can make some money or something. But
oh, yeah, it's always money with him. You got to give the guy credit for one thing. He is usually about money.
Torture.
There's got to be money and torture for him too. It's so funny about his zealousness in his defense of the Jewish people. It didn't seem to count when he was on the defense team for O.J. Simpson, who I recall was involved with killing of Ron Goldman, who was an innocent 24-year-old Jewish kid who happened to have stumbled on the scene with the sunglasses in his hand. He didn't say, oh, I can't defend O.J. Simpson or any get involved with this. An innocent Jewish kid got killed. Hey. Show me the money, man. That was a high-paying case.
Yeah, human rights activist for torture, Alan Dershowitz. I don't know how this guy even gets on TV or gets clients at all. Laughing stock a decade ago.
I know. It's just I posted before I found a great interview with Alan Dershowitz talking about why he's a nudist and why he goes to Martha's Vineyard and. At my Passover Seder, I'm one of the rare anti-Semites who has a Passover Seder.
Yeah,
my Passover Seder, a woman who was there, a family member, said, oh, my God, that Alan Dershowitz, every time I see him attacking you, all I can do is picture him walking down the beach at Martha's Vineyard naked wearing this big white hat. I said, come on, you're kidding. And I went and looked it up online and discovered, oh, yeah, he's well known for exposing his parts. I mean, this guy's nuts.
Man,
this
conversation, I think, has reached its low point.
Oh, come on, I love this stuff.
All right, yeah, I'm not sure we can fix it. I think we should stop. We're way over time. Thank you so much for your time on this show.
Okay, call me. Don't just forget about me now because I'm not at Media Matters. I'm still around.
No, I know that you are, and I was just about to remind everybody they can still read you at the Huffington Post, at mjrosenberg.com, and where else again?
Well, where else again? Oh, Al Jazeera.
Oh, and Al Jazeera, of course. Yes.
Talking Points Memo.
Okay,
but the best thing they can do for me is go to mjayrosenberg.com and sign up on my blog, and they'll get the RSS feed and all that stuff.
There you go. Perfect. Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Okay,
appreciate it as always.
Thank you. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
The great MJ Rosenberg, everybody. We're over time. See you all tomorrow.